All right, well, here we go. Our storm system's arriving, and we've been giving you the first alert all week, tracking this weather system and warning you that the nice weather of the early part of the week would be giving way to some not-so-nice weather, let's call it. Downright nasty, probably. Today, tonight, and tomorrow. It's a first alert weather day today through tomorrow. Now, we had a first alert weather day last Thursday, and that was for the potential for severe storms, including strong winds and tornadoes. This is a different scenario, a different beast, so to speak. And you might remember yesterday I mentioned this being a local nor'easter. Well, allow me to kind of change the definition a little bit. It's really just semantics, but this is looking more and more like a good old nor'easter. And by that I mean like what you would expect at higher latitudes. Rich and I talked about this in the morning weather discussion and as we discussed this system yesterday morning. And it is now looking like low pressure will develop fast enough and strong enough so that as it moves across Florida, we'll get a pretty strong fetch of easterly and northeasterly winds, a lot of moisture, so heavy rainfall. And this is more like a nor'easter that you'd experience up the eastern seaboard than what we would typically see here, which is high pressure to the north, and it creates a strong onshore northeast wind, and it's called, therefore, a local nor'easter. It's not truly caused by what we call a mid-latitude cyclone. In other words, a low-pressure area. But in this case, it kind of is. It's evolving into that. And so, again, it's really just semantics. It doesn't change our forecast from the last several days. But this is not a typical type of storm system, in other words, for Jacksonville and northeastern Florida, especially this early in the season. Not unheard of, but not real common either. So after all that explaining, the bottom line is windy, wet, and cold all the way through tomorrow. If you live in a flood-prone area, and that's either whether it's freshwater flooding because it's raining so heavily or tidal flooding at times of high tide, in other words, you should be prepared to take action and possibly have to evacuate and or certainly protect your property over the next 24 to 36 hours. And there's likely to be some at least sporadic power outages as well. And for many folks, it may be the first time you turn on the furnace eventually here over the next couple of days. And remember that kind of smell you'll get just as you turn that furnace on, that odor. It almost smells like the house is on fire or something's burning. Well, that's just because you haven't used your furnace for so long. There's a lot of dust there and stuff that's kind of being blowing about. And it just has that sort of unusual odor. So it's not anything to really be alarmed about, but just realize many will probably discover that here over the next couple of days as we go unseasonably cold as well. So rain today, starting out scattered and light early this morning, will shift northward and increase in intensity as we go through the day. It's going to rain everywhere between today and tomorrow. It's really just a matter of exactly when and how much. Right now, I'm calling for about an inch of rain in far western parts of our viewing area, so western Baker County, 1 to 2 inches from the about I-75 central Baker County, a little east of there, in other words, to about Highway 301. And then from 301 to I-95, as much as 1 to 3 inches of rain, locally more. So that's a good part of Duval County. But from I-95 to the intracoastal and beaches, as much as 2 to 3 and locally 4, 5, even 6 or 7 inches of rain is not out of the question, depending on exactly the track of this storm system in the end and some of those bands that'll set up on that north side of the low pressure rotating their way off the Atlantic into our area. Sometimes those can be relatively stationary and dump some tremendous amounts of rain. So if that heavy rain coincides with high tide, which it likely will at times, which is, by the way, a little bit either way of about 9 o'clock in the evening tonight, after 9 o'clock in the morning this morning, they're always about 12 hours apart, that would cause especially high water. And then we also have the new moon cycle, which causes higher astronomical tides. We have the strong and long fetch of easterly winds, and it all adds up to a lot of water in our system, and that includes what we call trapped tides. And by that I mean, even when we go to low tide, while the water goes down some, it stays pretty high, and so that the next high tide is even higher, and then more water stays trapped in the system until finally it can sort of get flushed out. But that doesn't occur until the winds start to become more northerly or even a little northwesterly as the storm moves away Sunday and Monday. But I suspect and expect higher than average tides into at least early next week. So this is really a pretty big deal for the intracoastal, the beaches, the St. John's River and its tributaries. People that live along these areas have seen it before, But you could get covered docks in water. Beachheads will be potentially damaged. Some docks could be damaged. And some of the highest tides could be 4 or 5 feet above average at the beaches, which is really quite substantial, especially when you're not talking about a tropical system. And as much as 2 to 3 feet locally, maybe 4 feet above average in parts of the St. Johns River and its tributaries, which will mean downtown is going to have some flooding as well. Downtown Jacksonville, Fernandina Beach is another prime spot. Jack's Beach, of course, and then St. Augustine could end up with some of the highest water simply because they'll also probably see some of the heaviest rainfall. So all that to be considered as we go through the next 24 to 48 hours. Winds will average 15 to 30 miles per hour, but gusts will reach 40 and 50 miles per hour tonight into Saturday, and particularly strong at the beaches. So again, that will likely bring down a few tree limbs and power lines and cause some at least sporadic power outages. And it may take a while for utility companies to fix it because the weather is going to be so nasty through the day on Saturday. And then we also have cold temperatures to go along with it. Highs today will struggle to get into the low 60s. We ought to be in the mid to upper 70s this time of year. It won't get out of the 50s tomorrow. And with the strong winds, feel like temperatures through the day tomorrow will be in the 40s. Realize that our mid-January average highs are in the mid-60s. So this is winter-like and then some. We will finally, by Sunday, still looks like we get some clearing. So the rain increases and spreads northward today, on and off heavy downpours tonight through tomorrow morning. I'm not completely ending the rain now until Saturday evening, so I've continued to slow this system just about each day this past week and continuing to do so, but it still looks like while Sunday early morning can start out with clouds, we gradually become partly sunny, and while it'll still be cool and breezy, it's certainly a brighter day Sunday, a nicer day, and it is the pick day of the weekend, although quite honestly, that's not going to be hard to beat after to beat Saturday after what we're going to experience through tomorrow. So for the Jags game, that's a 1 p.m. kickoff, partly sunny skies, temperatures in the 60s, and a pretty decent little north breeze at about 10 to 20 miles per hour. That'll be in the face of the teams that are heading toward the north goalpost, in other words. And then, of course, we have the fair in town, too, which was fine last evening, but now it just looks nasty through Saturday before the fair weather improves on Sunday. But isn't it every year that the fair happens, the weather just goes south, it seems like, so to speak. We will at least have nice weather early next week to start the new work week with sunshine and warmer temperatures. In the And also, remember, by the way, on Sunday, we are falling back. Sunrise on Sunday, then, will be at 6:45 in the morning, so before 7 o'clock. But sunset will be just after 5:30, at 5:34 p.m. So when the Jags game is over Sunday, within about 90 minutes, the sun will be setting. That's going to be quite a change. And then in the tropics, we have Wanda still wandering, if you will, over the North Atlantic. Stays out over the open water and will eventually lose tropical characteristics late in the weekend and or early next week. The rest of the tropics look quiet, but we've got, of course, got plenty to develop to deal with right here at home with our nor'easter now through Saturday. Always more, of course, at WOKV.com and ActionNewsJax.com with updated weather information round the clock. In summary, with our nor'easter today through tomorrow, rain will increase, will be heavy at times. Everybody gets at least some rain. Amounts will average 1 to 3 inches, but locally as much as 4 to 7 inches of rain. There'll be potential flooding, not only from rainfall, but also at times of high tide at the beaches, the intracoastal, the St. Johns River, and its tributaries. And temperatures will be unseasonably cold, some 20 degrees below average, struggling to get into the low 60s today, dropping into the 50s tonight, and never getting out of the 50s during the day tomorrow. Take care of yourself and one another as we head through this weekend with all your weather all the time. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish for the CBS 47 and Fox 30 Action News Jax First Alert Weather Center for 104.5 WOKV.